Hello, I'm FreePod host Cherry Gibson. I'm pleased to host this week's in-depth interview with Margaret Larson from the University of Illinois Extension Office. Margaret, it's great to see you.
It is wonderful to see you, Cherry. Thank you.
We're going to talk about the U of I Extension Office, which is located on the campus at Highland College.
It is here at Highland, and I believe since the late 70s, it has been the Extension Office has been housed here at Highland.
Now, you do so many things that I think people don't realize, that the Extension is such a resource to our local community. So that's what we want to kind of talk about, an overview, if you will, of the things that you offer. And it isn't just Stevenson County that you cover, right?
Right. As Extension Director for my unit, we call it, I am over Joe Davis, Stevenson, and Winnebago County. We have a total of four offices in our unit. And if I have everyone hired, we have about 26 staff members.
How many people work locally on the Highland campus?
Locally here, we have 12 people that work. That includes five of our Extension educators, which I kind of equate to a faculty member. And then we have a number of county staff and then a few of us that are more administrative that work in the whole unit.
And your connection with the University of Illinois, you are an Extension Office of the Champaign campus, right?
Absolutely. We're part of the University of Illinois' Extension and Outreach. We are affiliated with the Champaign-Urbana campus, and we are in the College of Agriculture, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences.
So what does that mean to people? I mean, you actually can utilize resources at the university itself, right?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing because the reality is we're able to call some of the experts on campus to help with local problems and issues. We also are a conduit to those experts who want to talk to local people but don't have a way to do that. So, for example, last fall, there was one of our Extension specialists on campus was doing a study on rural vitality, and it was funded by Compeer Financial. So he contacted me and asked to be connected or for me to connect him with kind of economic development leaders in Northwest Illinois. So we went from community to community to community, and our area is really featured in his 42-page report. And I was just talking with Georgia from the county this morning and said, remember, if you have anything that Mark could help you with, we need to contact him and get him to come up here and get him involved. And so, again, it's kind of a two-way street. We're here to help them connect with people. And then if we have an issue, you know, we'll reach out to those people as well.
We're going to talk about some of the specific services and things, programming and things like that that you offer. But first, I would like folks to realize that the majority of the assistance that you offer is of no charge, right?
Absolutely. We've really gone into a model where many of our programs are shorter. They're kind of less intensive and less less stuff involved, and we absolutely want to do that at no cost. If we do things where there are things that we have to go out and purchase and so forth, like food preservation, canning classes, where there are actual costs to that, we will have a nominal fee. But definitely, we're not here to make a profit. We want to make our services, our information available to people in a way where they can access it easily.
A lot of the programming revolves around agriculture and farming and gardening and things like that. But there's so much more than that. But one of the things that I'm sure is kind of busy right now would be your Master Gardeners program.
Yeah. So just to kind of add more to that, Sherry, we do have a number of program areas, and we call one of them agriculture, but it involves horticulture and local foods and small farms, and crop sciences, agronomy, livestock, all of those things. And so we have within that program area our Master Gardener Volunteer Program. And one of the things these trained volunteers do is staff a helpline throughout the growing season. So people can call Obviously, we don't have people there 24/7 or even the 40 hours a week we're open, but they're in every other day or so. People can call and say, here's my issue, here's what I'm looking for, and then the volunteers will do some research, get some resources for those people, and then get back with them. We have people walk in with branches and with whole plants and things like that, just needing help identifying things.
So I could call and say, my petunias don't look good. What am I doing wrong?
Absolutely. Right? Yes, you can. And one of the things that we do is track what each of these calls was about. So we get a feel of what the issues are that are, you know, that our residents are dealing with. And sometimes it's the same question every week or every other day, you know, someone's asking a similar question, because the problems, you know, if they're pest problems, they spread. You know, they're not isolated to one garden.
So if someone is even interested in getting more involved in depth with the Master Gardener program, don't you offer the training for that as well?
We do occasionally, and we've been talking about offering it in the fall here. So yeah, definitely reach out. And we'll add you to a list.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other areas.
And some of the other areas, natural resources. Involved in that would be programming about invasives, renewable energy, water quality, indoor air quality, just a lot of things. Jay Solomon is our educator in that area and has a very broad, diverse background. Also looking at nutrition and wellness as a programming area. And food safety is one of the buckets under that topic. And that involves food preservation, canning of all kinds, freezing, dehydrating, as well as our certified food protection manager training. And then we have a serve it safely. The food protection manager training is something hospital food service people have to go through, restaurant workers and so on and so forth. Serve it safely is for your community groups that have a snack bar or a concession stand at a sporting event or a public event.
I've interviewed Barb Curry a number of times. And I remember from her and her food safety one saying that she used to use that has stuck with me, and I've used it more than once: when in doubt, throw it out.
Yeah.
And we're not here to talk about specifics like that.
But thanks for bringing that up, because SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program education portion, is done by Extension. And so Barb Curry is our SNAP person who works with a lot of our community agencies providing basic nutrition education at no cost to those in need. So a great service we offer to the community. Under nutrition, we also have a lot of chronic disease prevention programming done by Diane Reinhold, who is our educator in that area and who is a licensed dietitian. So this is her passion, a lot of heart health and cooking to be heart healthy, gut health, cooking for pre-diabetes, people with kind of heading in that direction. And then wellness, we have a couple of summer walking programs going on. And Diane also has a blog that is wellness oriented. And then as we move through again, kind of the next thing is 4-H and youth development. So our most well-known program, our signature program, if you will, 4-H, and we are so grateful to all of our adult volunteers throughout the county who lead our 4-H clubs, lead our projects, help judge in the summer at our 4-H shows and so forth. But
that program has changed a lot over the years. I was in 4-H back in the day.
I recall that.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but it isn't just for kids showing mm-hmm. and farm animals, mm-hmm. although that's a big part of it.
Right.
But there's a lot of new programs and things that really can be interesting to really be interesting to anybody.
Yeah, 4-H has evolved, and I think one of the things people involved in programs like that understand is you have to move forward with everyone else.
Right.
You know, you can't say this is who we are and we're staying this way. And so after our pandemic, you know, disruption, one of the things that happened is we really expanded what was offered to youth. And we added a robotics club that then participates in the statewide 4-H robotics contest. And that was the beginning of May. So our third or fourth year we've been involved in that. And then esports became another option that a lot of youth became involved in.
What is esports?
Esports is the online kind of gaming, and colleges and universities now have esports teams. And
oh my goodness,
it's kind of something that's evolved. Like, let's do this, and let's add on some more wellness stuff to it, like get up and walk around, make sure you're drinking a lot of water and all of those things. So it's just a way to bring youth together and to have them, again, led by trusted adult volunteers and learning things from them. So 4-H has kind of evolved. We still have some of our big programs that we do here in this county and have since I started 20 years ago. Keepers of the Land, we do that in partnership with the Soil and Water Conservation District and the Ag in the Classroom people. We did an Arbor Day program out at Crate Park with the Park District and the Audubon Society. We have a leadership group, which is our older 4-H members. It's called the Ambassadors, and they do a lot of community service, and they're obviously building their leadership skills as they go through high school and plan their next steps. So we depend on them a lot. We have 10 4-H groups or clubs in the county, spread throughout the county in all of the municipalities, you know, the towns and stuff. And then we do some programming in schools. Kelly Lafferty, our educator, is doing mindfulness classes in schools at the request of specific teachers. And that's really neat to see. So all in all, busy place, busy group of people, wonderful group of people.
And we've only just touched on the things that you do. So if people have questions or they're interested in 4-H or any of the other things you've talked about, what's the best way for them to get a hold of the Extension office?
Absolutely. Give us a call at 815-235-4125. Or another option is to Google University of Illinois Extension, Stevenson County, and you'll be able to hit our website.
I know your actual address is kind of lengthy, and it's the easiest just to Google it.
Absolutely. I just suggest that. Or if you're like me, you just hit a button and say, Google, you know, U of I Extension, Siri, send
there
me
you
here.
Go. So, there you yeah. go. Margaret, I'm so glad that you were able to come in today. It's always good to catch up with you. And I think just inform the public of the things that you offer. And if somebody doesn't know, give you a call, right?
Absolutely. We have a lot of resources. And the resources aren't all housed in our office here in Freeport. We have a lot of people we reach out to who can provide assistance, or just we can connect people to. So our resources are pretty deep. Our interest in helping people is deeper.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Margaret Larson, Extension Director with the University of Illinois Extension Office. Thanks for listening, everyone. Once again, I'm FreePod host Sherry Gibson, and I invite you to tune in to our regular weekly newscast for local news you've been missing on Thursdays at noon, and our next in-depth interview next Tuesday. As we always want to remind you, FreePod couldn't come to you without the help of many local supporters. We're especially appreciative for the Mass Communications Department at Highland Community College for producing this podcast, as well as our many liaisons and reporters for the time they volunteer to bring the news to you. Thank you, Highland and Team FreePod, and thank you for listening.